I want to run this quick soundbite by Bill Maher, who on his show, this was last Friday, he had a couple of Democrats on his show. As you know, Bill Maher himself is a liberal, is a Democrat, but he's anti-woke and he's anti-bureaucracy. And he's getting increasingly impatient with the Democratic Party for, as he says, just blowing it time after time after time. They're too extreme. And he made this claim about the Department of Education. Now, it used to be, well, you can't reduce funding for the Federal Department of Education because if you reduce funding for the Department of Education, it looks like you're anti-education. Obviously, you can't do that. Bill Maher says, you know what, why not?
What does the panel think of the Trump administration gutting and potentially eliminating the Department of Education? I'm still thinking about it, honestly.
All right, you take this one.
here's what I care about.
Okay, first of all, right off the bat, instead of diving in and say, oh, you're so wrong, Bill, there's this sense of exasperation saying to Governor Shapiro, you take this one. Because guess what? Defending the Department of Education and how it's done its job isn't so easy anymore. So here's what Governor Shapiro had to say.
Needs. I've got kids who are coming from poor families who rely on this funding from the federal government to have a shot in life. I said before, I want every child of God to have the freedom to chart their own course, the opportunity to succeed. The federal government made a compact with those kids. I hope they don't break that compact with those kids.
Yeah, I guess what the question, though, really is the Department of Education doing that? Is it now? They probably are doing some good work. I'm sure they are. What is their budget? Like $200 billion or something? But it also looks like some of these places are just funneling money to people who are not solving the problem. I mean, I saw that story about the $20 billion that went out the door after Biden lost the EPA. It wasn't the EPA, or was it the EPA? But so there was $20 billion. That they shoveled to groups because Trump was coming and then they were going to reverse right. All this stuff. And the supposedly environmental groups, and they were not really environmental groups. And they had no experience in doing it. Like I said before, I care about the plastics. Do I think this money was going to get rid of the plastics in my brain? I do not. So I am skeptical of the Department of Education. Yeah. I think every Democrat who runs really needs to take on this issue because that's your portfolio, education. You've owned it, and the results aren't good.
No. Bill Maher hits every single point, every single target. He hits it bullseye. The Democrats have owned the education issue, and the results aren't good. It is quick history lesson here. The Department of Education was created in 1979. There, of course, the federal government had been doing some, you know, education spending for this or that, but they put it all under one roof. Did the Carter administration create the Federal Department of Education at the behest of parents' groups? No. Well, did they do it at the behest of, say, the Association of School Principals throughout America? No. Well, did they create the Federal Department of Education because of school boards? No. Well, wait a minute. Okay, how about governors? Was it because the governors of the vast majority of the 50 states said, we need a federal Department of Education? No. The Federal Department of Education was created as a payoff to the National Education Association, which is not an association. It's just a union. It was the teachers' union, the largest teachers' union in America. They supported Jimmy Carter when he ran. It was the first time they ever endorsed anyone for president. And their top priority as a union was getting a federal Department of Education. Get this. As the Wall Street Journal recalled in a recent editorial, when Jimmy Carter signed the bill creating the Department of Education, he said that doing so, quote, would eliminate unnecessary bureaucracy, cut red tape, promote better service for local schools, and even, quote, save tax dollars, close quote. He said that with a straight face. All you need to do is look at the results of the Federal Department of Education. Are schools better? Is there less bureaucracy? Let's look at it from a completely different vantage point. When people are not pleased with their kids' school and they want things to get better, do they go to a local school board meeting or do they call Washington, D.C.? Exactly. Education is a local issue. There is no reason for federal bureaucrats to be involved in education. If there are programs for, let's say, special needs kids, and the federal government wants to assist, then go ahead and send block grant and send the money. But we don't need federal strings attached. We don't need federal strings. Federal strings is federal bureaucracy. We don't need any of that. And so right now, basically, it's the Federal Department of Education, which has presided for the last 45 years over a system where last year, one-third of the nation's eighth graders scored below basic scores on reading tests. Not grade level, just basic. This ought to give you the idea that, you know what, it was a mistake to ever put more money and more authority in the hands of Washington, D.C. if you wanted better schools. Now, that doesn't mean that things are always going to get better, because if you have woke policies at the local level, like you have at the federal level, you're going to get miserable results, because woke policies, progressive left-wing education ideas, work just as bad in education as woke progressive policies work in every other realm of life. Perfect example, Danny Westneat's column in the Seattle Times today. I mentioned this earlier in the hour. A little more detail for you here. A teacher at a local school, Hamilton Middle School, said that 8 years ago, the school had six classes of middle school students taking geometry, which I remember taking when I was a sophomore in high school. It's a high school course. One of the classes was even taking advanced algebra, which is for high school juniors. So that's like 150 middle school kids in one school taking advanced math. That's impressive. That was 8 years ago. Then the progressives got involved and made not excellence, but equity the major priority in schools. What's the result? According to school teacher David Evans, he told Westneat, well, now instead of six classes, we have one section of geometry. He says a lot of the other students have just, if you want those things, you have to go to other places for them. The Seattle School District went out of its way not to ask parents who were leaving the school district why. But a lot of parents who did leave, when they finally were asked, said that their concerns were the curriculum. Families, quote, who disenrolled their students overwhelmingly cited concerns about the quality of education and the curriculum. What's more, a majority, boy, get this, a majority of adults of current students have also considered disenrolling their kids over concerns about quality. The education establishment, the activists, the unions said, oh, no, parents are leaving the schools because of the high cost of housing. It was BS. They knew it. The cost of housing was cited by 3% of parents who were leaving the schools. This example was cited by Westneat, a Washington middle school. Another middle school, Washington Middle School, had its gifted student program canceled in 2020. One of the progressive school board members at the time, Zachary DeWolf, who was basically just a political activist who got elected to the school board, said that the headline should be Seattle Public Schools have voted to desegregate a middle school in the Central District. At that time, the school had 669 students. 60% were students of color. Today, it doesn't have 669. It has 557. Doesn't have 60% students of color. It has almost 80% students of color. So you've got, after 6 years of progressive policies and doing away with the gifted program, you've got a smaller school and a less racially mixed school. The enrollment in that school of Asian and white kids has dropped in half. If you want the best for your kid, why would you keep them in a school that is going out of its way not to allow them to excel? Asian enrollment in the Seattle Public Schools has dropped 17% in 5 years. Oh, and by the way, after doing away with the school gifted program, did that help kids learn better since everyone's in one classroom together? No. No improvement in academic outcomes for any group of students. Parents say some schools took the equity drive so far as to effectively ban lessons above grade level. So if you've got a really smart kid, a gifted kid, a motivated student, they can only proceed at that pace, grade level. They're not going to be motivated for long, are they? So now, supposedly, the schools are beginning to change their tune. And, you know, we'll see. They say, well, we're gonna keep a gifted student program going and then try and make it diverse while proving that you can have both gifted programs and regular kids in each neighborhood school. We'll see. Again, the bias, and it's all driven by this mania about race. Again, equity is not an extension of civil rights. It's an inversion of civil rights. Instead of playing down the significance of someone's race, they magnify it, sometimes fixate on it. And the result was getting rid of the gifted program, which got rid of a lot of students, which lowered the district's funding because funding is attached to the child. Yet one more example of how a man-made program, man-made approach to education ends up screwing up education and leaving everyone worse off. Just like the progressive approach, as I was saying earlier, to drugs means more dead people from overdose and more drugs and more problems associated with drug culture. It means dramatically more crime. It means more disorder and dysfunction. So when liberals say, you know, yeah, we have the majority. Our policies are prevailing. Okay. How are they working? Did you want to address that issue? How are they actually working? And if they're not, then why aren't you changing the policies? And if you won't change the policies, it's time to change you. Time to get people in there who know what they're doing.